This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. Have you ever tried to take a picture of your cat and their eyes glow like they're possessed? Or you take this great picture of your little black kitty and it just looks like a black blob? And how do you get them to pose? And oh, we are so fortunate that we met Susie Inverso, who is a cat photographer. So after we hear from our amazing sponsor, we're going to come back and find out how to get better pictures of our cats and how she does this. And oh, we have so many questions for her. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life, and it helps control the free roaming cat populations too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Need the perfect gift for the cat lover in your life? Check out comfortdiva.com. We have cat-tastic gifts to make you smile, like cat-themed tote bags, kitchen towels, quirky mugs, and stylish t-shirts. For holiday gifts or anytime, comfortdiva.com has it all. Treat the cat lady in your life to something pawsome and save 20% with coupon MEOW20. Visit comfortdiva.com today, because every cat lover deserves a little comfort. Comfortdiva.com, where comfort meets catitude.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with the ever gorgeous, my bestest friend in the whole wide world and business partner, my work wife, according to my husband, Rita Reimers.
She's buttering me up for some kind of favor. I don't know what it is yet.
I told you I bank them for when I
just
need
sent
them.
You all the flea mints we have.
Right?
I don't have any more. Anyway, I don't want to talk to you, but this is really timely because now you have how many black cats?
5. I don't even know. Oh, thank you for telling me because I lost.
I have 2 and I love all my cats. The black cats are really hard to photograph. If you can see the detail in their face when you take a photo, you got lucky. Unless you're Susie, who knows how to do it.
Unless you're Susie, who knows all the tips and tricks.
So tell us how you got started with Crimson Cat Studios. That's your baby, yes?
Oh, yeah. Hi. So I was a human person photographer doing weddings and engagements and stuff for like 20 years.
Wow.
Back in Chicago, and moved here right as the pandemic was starting and tried to kind of pivot so that I could still do that. And it just wasn't working. It wasn't working. And I hired a business coach and she was like, well, what do you really want to do? And I was like, pet photography. And it just kind of dawned on me that every couple, every family that I photographed, I was always like, do you have a pet? You should bring your pet. You should bring your dog. You should have, oh, you have a snake. Bring them to the session. We'll get them in there.
I don't know. I might have to draw the line at the snake, but I get you. Yeah, I'm the person at the party. You invite me to a party. If you've got a pet, that's where I'll be.
Yes. Exactly. I'd much rather be
Rita's in the room with the coats and the cat. Yeah.
With the animals. Yeah. And I'm an only child and I grew up with a house full of gerbils and guinea pigs and dogs. And it just made all the sense in the world to just specialize in pets. So that was over 2 years, like 2.5 years ago. And I haven't looked back. It's been amazing.
I love it. So somewhere in there, you also relocated to Colorado.
Yeah, that was right at the beginning of the pandemic. It just so happened to fall that we were moving here to Denver. And so that's when everything kind of changed, that I was like, well, I'm going to try and do elopements because everybody's doing these like micro weddings.
Yeah. Yes.
I tried to get into that. But because of all the shutting down, I just couldn't meet people face to face and stuff. So eventually, once everything started opening up again, it was easier to, like, I get a lot of my clients from face to face events, like pet events and stuff. And those are my people. We understand each other, you know?
Exactly.
It's funny how the pandemic made a lot of people pivot. It made us pivot and get rid of the pet sitting, concentrate on the behavior side, because, you know, nobody was traveling.
Yeah.
Just like nobody was having big weddings. But to be honest, I like working with pets better.
I do too. Yes. Yeah. We used to say the clients are not allowed to call anymore. The cats are meow once if you need a 30-minute session, meow twice if you need. We just want to deal with animals. So I have to tell you, like, I don't know. I haven't photographed animals. Well, other than my own. Yeah, my phone storage is full. But I would assume, you know, a dog, sit, stay. A cat, though, Susie, a cat.
Sit, stay to a cat. They laugh at you.
I know. Something was going on that was so cute last night. And I'm trying to reach for my phone. I'm going, wait, don't move, don't move. And the minute I put it up, they move.
I think they know what the camera is. The minute you pick it up, they stop doing what you want it. Yes. How do you get these great shots, Susie? Of course, you don't want to give away all the secret sauce.
So I have some secrets for cats.
Okay, we're ready.
Because they don't want to be told what to do, so we kind of have to trick them into thinking that they're doing what they want to do.
Like with cat behavior training.
Yes, exactly.
So I have my, like, big stock of Churu treats.
Oh, yeah.
I have catnip spray. I get them up high. So, like, on my set in my shooting studio, I build, like, a little tower for them so that when we put them up on top, that's where they're happiest. And they'll just kind of just hang out there. This one here.
Yeah.
That bench there that he's kind of was, like, 5 feet in the air.
I love it.
So the people bring their cats to you as opposed to you going to their homes?
Most of the time, yes.
Wow.
They do come here first. We have minimal hiding spaces. So if they really need to hide somewhere, they can hide back in their own crate. But we lure them out with toys. We just play. We just make sure it's really fun for them.
That's amazing.
Once they kind of warm up to the space and to the fact that, like, this isn't the vets, that we're going to play and have a good time with them and that the focus is on them and they're going to get, like, attention and treats, then they usually will come out and be social. There are definitely, like, cats that don't travel well. Mm-hmm. And so in that instance, I will come to your home.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
we had that back before I got into the behavior. Rita was writing for Catster. I ended up joining her, but they wanted her to come to her editor's home with cats to take these. They were going to shoot these videos.
Was the second time, too. I had already done it once, and it was pretty successful once, but the cats I took were kittens then.
So we easily decided Colby and Simon. They're the greeters. They're friendly. And Colby had done it before. And then as a backup, we're like, should we bring a third cat just in case? Let's bring Punkin. Punkin was the star of the show. I think he read the script. I'm really convinced he read the script.
He was 16. I really didn't think he was going to do well, but he did.
I did not either. And the photographer, she was trying to search for Colby, who had shoved himself underneath a dresser in about a 1-inch space, and we were afraid he'd escape. Simon literally put himself in the corner. It was heartbreaking. And Punkin was like, I'm here for you. And so the photographer said, if I put a party hat, because it was like cats keeping you up at night, if I put a party hat and I'm like, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to put this on this cat's head. I'm going to yell, go. I'm going to dive and get rug burn on my nose. And you're going to take it now because this is it. Punkin sat with that hat on like, yeah, I'm ready for my close-up.
What else you want me to do?
We put little solo cups in front of him. And he's like, whatever you want, babe.
But that's not the usual cat.
Usual. And again, Colby and Simon, who were sure things
they
in
were
our
petrified.
Opinion.
Get it?
Petrified.
Oh, good.
Good. So yeah, that was my first thing. Like, how did you accomplish that? Because they're coming into a new space with sights and smells. And
trying to make it smell nice for them and make them the star of the show. And
you know, the fact that you have cats and you understand cat temperament, that helps a lot, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
There's Punkin.
Those of you who can see the video or are watching the video, this is Punkin.
Wow.
With his hat on and his little solo cup and the whole party. And he just sat there like, okay, whatever. Yeah.
We do a lot of that too, where it's just like, okay, put the cat on top of the bench and it just hold him there And then when I count up to three, you let go. And I'm just like,
I hit the floor. I swear I had rug burns. I hit the floor so fast because in my mind, we have a 2 second window. If that dive, take it, Harrison. And then I was like, oh, guess I got that rug burn for nothing.
Plus, we took him into a home that had pet birds and pet dogs. They didn't have any cats. So they had all these other smells to distract them. So do you make sure that you like sterilized your area and get rid of any previous pet smells, Susie? Yep.
Yeah, I do. And there's probably something left over, like, you know, any place that there's been animals. But I do, I mop and I vacuum and I try and get like all the fur out. I use a fabric backdrop at the moment so I can take it home and wash it. And yeah. I just wash it by itself. And but yeah, it's a nice, easy spot. This studio here used to actually be a tattoo studio. So it came pre-easy to sanitize.
Yeah, it was already a extra clean sanitized space. That's really good.
And I'm assuming based on cat behavior that a smaller room is going to be better because a big room is like, I have to explore all this and there might be something there. So if we're doing this at home too, right? Like we don't want to go out into the middle of the vast expanse. We want to do it in a smaller space if we're trying to purposely get this.
Yeah. And the studio is not big and like I said, minimal hiding spaces. So there's not a ton for them to be like frightened of. There's not a lot in there that's going to really scare them. Sometimes the flash spooks them, but I find that if I reward them when the flash is going off, so I'm giving them a churu and I'm popping the flash at the same time. And I do the same thing with dogs because not all dogs can get spooked by the flash too. So I give them a treat and I pop the flash and I give them a treat and I pop the flash. And once I realize that they're not reacting, they don't care about that bright light going off at all. They just care about the treat machine here.
We do that with behaviors. I think that's perfect. Like we're like, if your cat's afraid of the vacuum, say, is that the vacuum? And go, and give a treat and then build up, right? That makes sense.
Do you? Now I forgot my question, darn it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Continue. It'll come back to me.
Let's talk about those black cats. They're not the most photogenic little buggers, but they're adorable. And I have two tiny little black kittens that are so cute. And the pictures never do them justice.
I have a couple of good pictures of my black cats, but it's hard. What's the trick?
I had a black Labrador right after college, and it was the same thing. If you took a picture with like a point and shoot camera or your phone, I don't think we did phones back then, but it was just a black shape with two little eyes and it was like no detail in there at all. So we have a couple of tricks. Most of my indoor stuff that I do is on a black backdrop. So getting a black dog or a black cat in here, it's always a fun challenge. One of the tricks is, of course, like a nice big light source. So if you have like a big picture window or a patio door or something, put them in front of that. It doesn't have to be like super direct, like sun shining straight through, but you know, an overcast or kind of diffused light is really good. And to make them pop off the black backdrop, I actually backlight them a little bit too. So I have like a light that's 45 degrees in front and 45 degrees in back. So they kind of cross each other with the subject in the middle. And that gives them a little highlight to get them off, to get them like to differentiate them from the backdrop. That's our trick here.
That has been one of my big frustrations. I don't know why I didn't think of a light in front is when a cat's in the window being adorable in the window seat and I take a picture and I can't, and it's nothing. It's like, is that a cat? Because the light is coming in the wrong way. And it never occurred to me. I just need to put a light in front as well. Right.
Like, yep.
Hey. Feel a little special at the moment, but okay.
That's why she's a professional photographer and you're not. And I'm not anymore. I used to take pictures. I was a photographer at children's photography studios. I used to do children. Those were hard. I'd rather do cats and dogs any old day.
Do you do
a lot of cat and dogs together? Do you have any trouble doing those?
Have I done cats and dogs together?
More households these days have both.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I did a dog with a bird.
Oh, how cool.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this.
Cooper, the golden retriever, and Larry Bird, the green cheek conure. And they were friends. Like, they're friends. So the bird would ride around on the dog's back and sit on the dog's head. That's what they naturally did. So we got that. We got a picture of the bird on the dog's head.
That's adorable. Yeah.
I always dreamed of having a pro come here and take all 19 cats surrounding me, but that would be impossible, I'm sure. luck with somebody that. Would wander off.
Yeah, for that many, I would say Photoshop. We would do a bunch of different poses with every cat, and then just
that's great.
Deposit them all together.
That's amazing, though. That's a good answer. Yeah, I had a professional photographer here from Bloomberg to take pictures, and so I thought, okay, I've got these three neonate kittens. They're coming out because I trust them more than my adults, who are going to be like, I don't know you, as they disappear from view. And I knew that they were going to be right on it, but they're so young that catnip spray does not work on them. And they wanted a picture with this box of litter. So I'm smearing churro on this box.
And the picture still didn't turn out that good.
No, it was awful. And, you know, and you're trying to get their attention. Look at me, you know, just can't even imagine. So when we were like, oh, Susie's a cat photographer, we got to find out, well, all pets, but we got to find out how to do these kinds of things, because it was rough. And I suppose rewards, I mean, we are behaviorists. We should have known that rewards, you know, inspire them to behave.
When you're in it, and then it's hard enough to keep a kitten focused, right? I don't think at that age they care that much about the rewards. They just want to explore everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Do they tend to, this is what I wanted to ask before, do they tend to stick to their owners like glue, or do you ask them to step out so you can be alone with the cat or dog?
That's a good question.
No, sometimes I do like to, if I can tell that the animal is a little uncomfortable, I do want to start with like mom and dad on the set with them.
Okay.
So that way they can kind of, you know, start to be comfortable. Sometimes I have mom or dad like throwing the toy back and forth on either side of the set. And sometimes we do just kind of start with holding the pet on their lap so that they're comfortable. They're getting more comfortable with the flash going off and with this weird woman taking, you know, in this big camera thing. And
yeah. Yeah.
And then stranger. As we proceed, I can usually get them to step away a little bit farther.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break for one of our awesome sponsors, and we'll be right back to talk more about, well, pet photography, but specifically cats, with Susie, Crimson Cat Studios.
Pet Greens is proud to support 19 Cats and Counting on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
Anyone who knows me knows I am a very strong proponent for cats being indoors. But when we bring cats indoors, where I feel it's safest, we have an obligation to make sure they have a fulfilling life, that they get enrichment. And part of that enrichment is encouraging health. And a big part of that health is cat grass. Cat grass helps with the prevention of hairballs. It can help keep your cat away from houseplants. It's also fun for your cat. It's a natural behavior that your cat wants to chew, and you know that you're providing it in a safe way.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The Expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. Gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at cfacatexpo.com. That's CFACATEXPO.com.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. How many do we have now?
32.
In our sanctuary. Our sanctuary is full. We can't take in any more. But Susie, that leads me to a question too. A lot of the sanctuaries, rescues, what have you, they don't have great pictures of their animals on their websites. What tips can you give them to getting some really good shots that might get them adopted?
I honestly, well, my first thing that comes into my head is contact your local pet photographer and see if they'd be willing to come in and do some volunteer hours, taking some photos of your of the harder to adopt animals that you need good pictures for.
Yes.
I do that for a couple of rescues around here.
That's
rewarding.
Awesome.
And it's fun, and it gets me just to kind of spend some time with them. And, you know, sometimes you have to be like quiet and just take your time. They're in a new spot. They're really scared. Sometimes they don't want to come out of whatever they're hiding under. And you just kind of got to get in there and do your best. But
photographs are powerful. I mean, I've never seen a cat I didn't want, but sometimes I'm like, ah, and then sometimes I'm like, oh, I want that cat. You know, it's like, it's the difference. Honestly, in the photo can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, especially in the shelters, just taking like that one picture, like their intake photo is they are scared and they look scared and their ears are
shot
and they're cowering. And you can tell, and it does kind of make you go, oh, no, I need to save that poor thing. But the pictures where they're like, hey, I want to live with you. Look how cute I am. Those are the more powerful ones that'll get.
I think they appeal to more people who want to take in like an easy cat or dog instead of one that's going to need a lot of coaxing and work.
Right.
Right. Which could be the same pet. Take the photo taken at a different time would reflect a more true personality.
Yes. Completely different cat. Yes, exactly. Now, do you find, because there's kind of a joke around here about one of my cats, and I don't know if this is a thing, but the majority of my cats, when I go to try to take a picture, will immediately, they can be doing the most adorable thing. And the minute they see my phone, they go, and we're done. One of my cats, Harley, who has some Maine Coon in her and is absolutely gorgeous. She knows she's beautiful. And if you pull out my phone, she'll go,
I have one like
and
that.
And pose. And faces. And it's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Have you found that there are some cats that are just like, oh, you want to take my picture? Okay, madam photographer, make sure you get my good side.
Yes. So this boy here, that's my boy. When I bring out the phone, he does that. He turns away. He does not want his. But if I've got him in the studio and I've got the real camera out and, you know, and he's the center of attention and he's getting the toys and he's getting the treats. It's totally different.
Oh, sure. So the attention has a lot to do with how much cooperation you're going to get from your pet.
Yeah, I think so.
Because 90% of the pictures I'm trying to take are, you're doing something cute, hold still. And doesn't happen.
You can never catch it.
They're like, what? I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
Well, and I think a pet photographer adds something extra because I'm looking at this picture of your orange baby there and he's adorable. Being a little off center, just everything in that picture is like, okay, see, I would have just gone, you know, and as centered and there's no, so you're at the black backdrop and the way he's centered. And so, you know, as much as I'm trying to get tips from you, because we all are going to take pictures of our cats, right? There's more pictures of my cats in my phone than of my husband or children, human children. But I definitely do not want to send the message that like, we got this, because a pet photographer is going to always be way better.
So you can't be creative with a phone camera, not like you can be in a studio, correct, Susie?
I think you can be to a certain extent, but knowing how light works is like the big important thing. Knowing that, like, for that silhouette right there.
I know, I love that.
Turning off the flash, knowing when to turn off the flash and not light from the front, knowing when to only light from the back for something really dramatic like that is really important. I was out on a session yesterday and we were out at like noon out in the mountains and the light, and it's October or it's almost October. And like the angle of the light was really, really rough. It was just so powerful. It was bright and the shadows were harsh and it was like noon, and knowing like that when I needed that second light to give a little glint in the eyes. That sort of knowledge stuff that you know.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Did you major in photography, or is this something that's innate? Is this just a talent you have, or a little of both?
I majored in music, but I took all the photography classes and darkroom classes at the same time.
I miss going into the darkroom. I used to love going in there and watching the photos develop in front of me.
Well, we always talk, when we talk to our clients, we are always talking about how cats are crepuscular and their vision really stinks. In broad daylight, they're nearsighted. At night, they can't see any better in the dark. And then we always say, that's why if you take a picture of your cat in low light, they look like they're possessed and belong in a horror flick. So yeah, that light makes all the difference in the world. Your cat can be doing the cutest thing and might sit still, but if their eyes are glowing and they look possessed, it's not gonna, we're not going on the wall. It's just not gonna happen.
What's the hardest session you ever had?
Well, they all present a challenge of some kind. All of them do. I did have a cat in here. Actually, it was like three cats and a dog. And it was my old studio, which was just downstairs from here. And it was a smaller space, and it didn't have like a dedicated closet. So I had these like fake walls that I had put up that I thought for sure no one can squeeze underneath these fake walls.
Uh-oh.
And one cat got a little too spooked and did get in and thought they were stuck there forever and peed.
Oh, no.
It was it was a very easy cleanup. And I totally understood. It was just like, oh, poor thing. Thought
that
he was trapped in there
forever. That is a high fear response. Like, that's high fear.
I never even thought about that. You have to provide a litter box and things when you've got cats coming in for a shoot?
I usually don't, unless I know that, like, I'm bringing my cats into work and they're going to be here for, like, 8 hours, I'll bring it. But no, I usually don't, because it's only when that sort of situation happens, which now in my new studio, I have a door that closes on the closet, and there is no way.
So that won't really be happening,
nowhere
thankfully.
For them to get stuck or really, really frightened. But otherwise, it's just an easy cleanup if we need to. And, you know, it's no big deal.
Comes with the territory.
Exactly. I was like, I knew what I was getting into when I took this job, when I decided to go this direction. I know the drill.
I'd rather put up with this kind of CRAP than the stuff.
Yeah,
the
God, seriously.
Been there, done that.
Well, I imagine, you know, if you're taking pictures of babies, they might have a blowout all of a sudden. They might spit up on you. I mean, this is just life.
I don't understand babies. I don't get children. They're not my people, so
not your jam.
I don't know what to do.
I got it.
I used to be a children's photographer, but yeah, kids are not my jam. Linda's all about children, not me.
I was in my years, and now I'm like, oh, I still love, like, if you've got a baby, I'm going to snatch it from you and hold it for a while, but then I'm going to give it back to you. Okay. We're a little old for this crap.
If you have a kitten, I'm going to snatch it from you, but if you have a baby,
kittens are my babies.
People they've asked me, they're like, but isn't it easier to take photos of kids because they listen or they understand what you're saying? And I'm
you
like,
think they listen.
They don't listen, though. Like, no. I can communicate much better with a pet, with a cat or a dog, than I can with a kid.
Exactly.
This is amazing.
So I wanted to make sure that we say Crimson.
I was just
going to
bring that up. I was just looking up the name.
Studios.com.
And CatFest. Tell us about that. What's going
on? Oh, yes. Okay. So when I first moved here, after stuff had opened back up again in like 2021, I heard about CatFest Colorado. And I was like, what is this? And it's just a big, like, cat festival. In July, they hold it in Colorado Springs. And in November, they hold it in Denver. And it's perfect because it's right before the holidays. So it's a really great place to go shopping for gifts for your cat family members or cat loving family members.
Yeah.
We're going to have to put this on our travel list for next November.
There's a cat show.
Or October.
There's like entertainment.
When is the date, Susie?
November 10th.
November 10th.
All right.
In Denver at the National Western Complex. And it's huge. There's adoptions. If you are a cat shelter, you get a free booth. And
nice.
So usually what I do before the show opens up is I go around to all those and I hand out these little coupons. And I'm like, give these to the people who have just adopted a cat. Send them over to booth 23 or wherever I am. And we'll do a quick portrait session with the new cat.
Nice.
And those are the only photos that I take at that show is of the newly adopted.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love that.
It makes me so happy. Like, they come and they... They hand me the little coupon and I'm just like, you're not gonna
kitty. Yes. But it'd be a good place if you're at a booth to come to, if you're in the area and okay, you're not gonna adopt one of those, which, you know, never say never. But you know, if you're not planning on it, stop by Susie's booth and talk to her about it and get some information and see if this is something that you might want to do. Do you do a lot of these kind of things, festivals and things like that?
Yeah, I do. There's also a couple of dog fairs coming up in October and November that I'm going to be at. I usually try and get a booth at any kind of pet fest that is around because I just like talking to pet people and I just want to hear about your animals and see what they're all about. Yeah.
I love that people get a chance to meet you, Susie, so they can see that your desire to take these photos and your connection to their pets is genuine.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I'm sorry, but animals are the best judges of a human's character.
It's true.
We often will be talking to a client and we'll be like, well, yeah, I had this boyfriend that the cat just hated his guts, but we're broke up now. And we're like, yeah, you should have listened to the cats.
That's why.
Yeah. Don't waste your time.
Unlike these women who give up their cats to marry this jerk. I mean, really?
We don't.
If you
like
had children
that.
Already, would you give up your children? But now right? We're getting off to a different topic. Yeah. We don't want to get
anyway. Yes, exactly. Yes. So, would you suggest? So, okay, I'm going to grab, you know, my black kitten and take a picture. Is there anything I want to particularly avoid? Like, don't do it on that comforter that is mostly white, or don't do it on something that's patterned, or, you know, are there things like that that are going to give us better photos?
Yeah. I'd say watch a busy background. You want to have a nice, clean background. So, you know, if you've got a wall with a bunch of photos on it all up and down or a television in the background, move to a different spot. Maybe a corner where there's not so much going on in the background. That's always a good tip. And get down on the floor. Get down at their level. So if they're down on the floor and you're taking a picture from up here, they're going to be a little blob on the floor. So get down with them so that you can see their whole shape and how tall they are. And you're eye to eye with them is pretty much that's the trick of getting the little light in their eyes and the little sparkle.
Yeah. My son's significant other the other day took a picture of one of my cats and she did it with the phone, but she turned the phone upside down and put it level. And
I was thinking about that. I said,
Crash, that is the most amazing picture I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing. And she's like, quit taking them overhead, Mom. Quit doing this. got one tip, yes. Right now, I have a little black kitten on me who climbed up my leg a minute ago. And
wasn't he just over on the bed?
I can't see him.
I know. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Plus, so, yeah. He's one of those that's hard to take a picture of because his whiskers are not white either. So
yeah.
He's just a black blob. So that's when you got to do the lighting tricks. And that's why you go to Susie's studio.
Yeah.
Do you have any last minute tips, tricks, advice that you'd like to leave us with, Susie, or other dates that you're going to be out and about where people can meet you?
I don't know if this will be out in time, but October 19th and 20th, I'm planning on having Autumn in Studio mini sessions here in the studio. So if you go to crimsoncatstudios.com, you're in the Denver area, check that out. I'll have info at my website. Denver Dog Days is October 13th, another one that I'm not sure that this will be out by then. And then the Denver Dog Fair is November 23rd and 24th at the Arapahoe County Fairgrounds, and I'll be there as well.
Awesome. And you list all your events because, you know, okay, I can't make it for that, but what are you doing in January, Susie, right? All I have to do is go to crimsoncatstudios.com. And I can see examples of your work. I can find out where you're going to be. I can get information on getting my pet photographed. All of the above.
Scroll all the way down to the bottom and sign up for our newsletter, the Crimson Chronicle,
which I've done. I'm on that.
Awesome. I get that. And you'll get all the updates for anytime we're having holiday sales or events and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. And you're on social media because we're following you. So you will get to see a lot of really cool photos and get a little taste of Susie. I have to say, I don't know if we were planning on saying this or not, but actually Susie was having a behavior issue with her cat.
I just don't even need to be here. She's just saying everything.
No,
that's
you
in
know,
my
you're
head.
Good. Yeah,
I'm not necessary.
We've talked about that before, haven't we? That we have the same thought and we don't actually need to speak. So, you know, get a little taste on that social media of all things Susie and what she's doing and what she's got and, you know, reach out to her, you know, contact, all that good stuff.
She has two lovable cats of her own.
Yes, they're very special. Yes, and they're getting along again.
We actually did a behavior session for.
Had
a little displaced aggression issue.
Yes,
and everything seems to be going better.
So far, so good. Fingers crossed, because we've got.
Pause
we have an out-of-town trip that we were hoping that they'd be, like, okay about, and I think it's going to be all right, but we're going to just keep on,
keep
on with the high-value stuff when they're together so that they just keep on liking it, being in the same room.
So that's how I started to say. So we're in the middle of the session, and we find out that she's a cat photographer, and we just love her. Her personality is amazing. So I send a private message to Rita, like, podcast? And she writes back, yes. So then I was dying to wait for us to quit talking. I'm like, okay, we're done. So Susie, will you come on 19 Cats and Counting? And God bless her. She was like, yeah.
So. She said, I'm there.
He snatched her up.
Yeah. So.
But look at you people that when you're seeing the video version, just the beautiful photography on her wall, just a little sample of her photographs. Yeah. But go to her website. CrimsonCatStudios.com and see all the gorgeous photos. I wish I could take photos like that. And I wish you lived here so you could come and take some photos for us. Who knows what the future will hold,
right? I'll tell you, even if you don't live in the Denver area and you're not going to use Susie, you know, follow her on social media anyway, because who doesn't want to scroll through pictures of cats and dogs?
Right?
And exactly. Especially from a professional photographer, which makes them
even cuter. Serotonin boost. Yeah.
You're having a bad day. Get on her social media and look at babies.
Thank you so much for being on our show and being the awesome photographer and cat lover that you are.
Well, thank you for having me.
That our paths have crossed.
Yes. Fun. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
And Linda, of course, as always, thank you for being my ride or die. And Mark Winter for giving us this awesome spot on Pet Life Radio. We are forever grateful, as we are to our sponsors as well. And just don't forget that every day is Catter Day. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.